God's blessings to you as we look at our scripture readings for this coming Sunday, for November 26th. And let us begin with prayer. Lord, watch over us as we look at the scriptures today and help us to think about them in terms of the end of the world and Judgment Day, but to do so with confidence in you and your promises in Christ, and that it's a day of victory for us when Christ returns, as we trust in him and his saving work for us. But we pray for many people who don't know that good news yet and who need to hear about Christ and trust in him. And we ask your blessing for them as well, and for our world troubled in so many ways, where the blessings of Christ could be of such great help to people. Bless us again as we listen and study the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. On this last Sunday of the church year, the scriptures turn our thoughts once again, as the last few weeks, to the last day. Here we see Judgment Day, and yet that we can have confidence in Christ our Savior on that day. The psalm for this Sunday is Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7a. There's a little more to the psalm, but the first part is what is used in worship sometimes and is called the Venite, which is the opening word of opening words of Psalm 95. O come, O come, let us worship the Lord. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the Lord. And that phrase is repeated more than once in this. You find that in matin services, also in what's called morning prayer in our worship too. And it's set to music as well. And it's a psalm of confidence in our Savior. And we make that joyful noise. We have songs of praise. We kneel before the Lord, our Maker, because he's not only made us, but he has become the means of salvation for us, the rock of our salvation. And the psalm talks about the fact that we are the sheep of his hand, that he takes care of us and pastures us and blesses us. And of course, all of that is pointing forward to Jesus and what he would do for us as the ultimate good shepherd for us as God's people. The Old Testament lesson then is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, and verses 20 through 24 as well. And God has been speaking in this Old Testament passage of how the shepherds, the leaders, the religious leaders of God's people were not doing so well, not taking care of people as they should. And finally, the Lord says that he will go into action like a shepherd, seeking out and rescuing his lost, his straying, his injured sheep, and that he will care for them. Because others are not doing the job they ought to be doing. And the Lord himself will judge between his sheep and sheep that push others aside, he says, and scatter them, those that are not helping, but in fact hurting and harming God's own people, his sheep. And eventually, this passage says in prophecy, God will set up over them one shepherd, and he's spoken of as my servant David. That really refers to, of course, the son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy of Christ as our good shepherd, as our Savior, but a servant Savior, giving his life for us in order to save and rescue us as God's people. And that ties in with the gospel lesson, as we'll see in a moment. But the epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 28, and it speaks of the victory of Christ Jesus over our enemy. Our greatest enemy is death itself, and what it could mean for us. And Christ's victory was over that, so that we don't have to be lost or away from the Lord, but can, in fact, it's a gateway to eternal life for those of us who trust in our Lord and Savior. And Jesus transforms death into a victory of life, eternal life for us. Jesus also conquered every evil authority and power, this passage says. That's talking about the works of the devil and this sinful world. And all of that will be put away finally through Christ and through what he has done for us. And it was accomplished by his own death and resurrection for us. And then this passage says that Jesus is coming back. And at his coming, he will bring with him all those who belong to him, and by that meaning those who belong to him by faith in him as the Savior, as the Christ, the anointed one of God sent to be the Savior. And then Jesus delivers this everlasting kingdom to God the Father, and the glory goes to God the Father, certainly to the Son and to the Holy Spirit as well, but particularly in this passage, turning everything over to God the Father, as Jesus in his life and ministry always trusted his Heavenly Father and his will and his plan. Well, the gospel lesson then, Matthew 25, 31 to 46, is a picture Jesus gives us of that last day. He told a couple of parables, but now this is a way of saying what will happen on that day. He gathers all people together, we hear, everyone, and immediately separates his own sheep who have followed and trusted in him from the goats, those who have rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Jesus already knew his own. He says, I know my sheep, and they know my voice, and they follow me, and lots of scriptures we could think of in relation to this. But Jesus knows his own, and he can tell by his relationship with them, also by the fruits of faith in their lives, that they have shown mercy and love to other people in gratefulness for what Jesus first has done for them, that he first loved them. He showed mercy to them, rescued them by sacrificing his life for them on the cross. Remember, Jesus says this parable just a couple of days before his death, before he goes to the cross to do that final rescue work for us, paying for our sins and giving us the gift of eternal life as we trust in him. And as other scriptures tell us, this won't be a long, drawn-out kind of thing. In fact, in the twinkling of an eye, other scriptures say, those blessed by the Father will inherit the everlasting kingdom prepared already for them as a gift from Christ, as they have trusted in him and followed him. In contrast to the joy and blessing for those who are sheep, who have followed Christ and the Good Shepherd, as the Good Shepherd, you have those in contrast who have rejected Christ and his way, actually the only way to salvation. He says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes except through me. He had done this saving work through his mercy, through his sacrifice for us. And those who've rejected all of that will go away, whether they realize it or not, into eternal fire, Jesus says, prepared for the devil and his angels. Instead of heaven, it's the opposite of that. And eternal punishment is another way that's described in this particular passage. But the hope and the victory is in Christ and those who are trusting in him. I'm going to be preaching on again this coming Saturday on this particular passage. So next week you might turn to the podcast, and I'll try to have up a copy of this sermon, which would tell you a lot more and a lot more information about the sermon as well. And it's a very hopeful one for God's people, but a very sorrowful one for those apart from Christ. And of course, the good news is that as long as we're still alive and in this world and before Christ comes back, there still is opportunity for people to wake up and see who Jesus was and what he's done for them, and have the switch where they're transformed by God and his grace from the goats to the sheep. But again, that happens in this life and this time. And we want to keep sharing that good news with more people as well. Well, the Lord's blessings to you as you think about these readings. And again, always I encourage you to get to worship if you can, or to watch a form of that in some way, so that you can be encouraged in your faith in the Lord and what these scriptures say for you and for me, for the very, very hopeful ones for believers in our Savior. And if you can't get to worship, I hope you'll look over these scriptures and consider them based upon the word of God. That's what this is, the very word and message of God. And it's Christ himself who's talking about all of these things and seeking to have us be prepared for his return by faith in him. Well, the Lord's blessings to you all.